Sounds good. Doesn't Ronnie just sound like somebody you'd want to take a slice of apple from?
There you go.
He is a great guy. I've enjoyed stopping by the orchard there, and so you would too, I'm sure. It's 68 outside. You know, there's a little bit of a shower going on north of us. Just passed through the Rice Lake area, kind of headed up toward the tail end of that. It's going to kind of scrape across Ladysmith in Russ County, but Hayward, parts of Price County over there, it's going to hit Park Falls, I think, a little bit pretty soon, and so forth. So that's just the weather word for you. Mabel Louise, we better get started.
Good morning to you, and it's always so good to be with you. And guess what? Only 4 more days to help with Catch and Match. And by the way, any financial help you can give would be just great. And the summer months have been lean, and your gift will help us to catch up. That's what it's all about. Thank you so much for anything and help that you can give us. I'm going to read lots of scripture today, so I will forego my usual verse for the day. I don't like to do that, but I'd have to have the time. And school days are fast approaching. I can hear the children that are listening groaning. Oh, no. We've had so much fun all summer, and now it's back to school. So the title of my message is just that, Children Going Back to School. And the question is, have you prepared your children to go back? I hope you have. A lot is being said over the media about buying school supplies, and in fact, in the last news, I heard that there's a shortage. I wonder, well, maybe it's because everybody's been out and purchased them already. I hope that's the reason. But let me ask you, how much has been said about preparing your child in their way that they conduct their life, like in actions, at school? Have you talked about it and visited together? How like us to be concerned about material things and not the character traits of our children. We need to do both, don't we? Well, if you're teaching your children the Word of God, then you will be familiar with the verses that I'm going to be reading to you. The Lord Himself instructed Moses as to what to tell the parents and how to teach their children the Bible. Let me read today Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11, Proverbs 20, Proverbs 22, and Proverbs 22:15. Those are individual verses that tell us what the Lord wants parents and grandparents and foster parents, whoever you are, to teach the children. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, and I'll read the beginning, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And then it goes on to say, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." In other words, this has got to be the priority. "Thou shalt teach them diligently." Now that means work at it. Go for it. "And unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when you sit in thine house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So that pretty much covers the whole day, doesn't it? In all of those circumstances, the Lord wants you to be in a teaching mode. I don't know about your children, but mine were always asking questions. And once in a while, they'd go through a why section. I'd say we'd be discussing something, and they'd come back with a why. Yes, I'm sure you've been through that too. And the verse says, bind them. In other words, bind the teachings upon your hands, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of your house and on the gate. In other words, have the Word of God available and as a priority, not only in your own life, because you can't teach it to your children if you don't know it yourself as a parent. So that's what the Lord has said. And you know what is so interesting? If you turn the pages in Deuteronomy, you'll find that the Lord repeats this same message. Let me read the repeat. It comes from chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. He says here, therefore you shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Becomes a real part of your life. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. In other words, if you'll take the time as a priority in your life, as a parent and a grandparent and a foster parent, you will find out that your home will be so much more pleasant. You'll find the children being interested in hearing you visit with them. And remember that very few of the families in Bible times had a copy of God's Word. Shame on us. We all probably have several copies in our homes. So how awful if we don't share them with our loved ones. And then I wanted to add three more from Proverbs, just a little warning of the responsibility of parents. Even a child is known by his actions, whether his work is pure and whether it is right. Now think about that. You send a child to school, he'll be known as a good student or a bad one, as good actions or bad actions, naughty. And then here's another one that is an encouragement for parents to follow through. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a good promise from the Lord. He'll remember it when he gets older. And I hear my children saying, especially my daughter, she'll say, I remember, Mother, you were teaching us those things when we were children. So that's what this scripture is trying to say. If you teach them when they're young, they'll remember it when they become older. Then this one, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. They're born in sin, so they act out sin. It goes on to say, but the rod of correction shall take it far from him. So those are admonitions from our Lord as to the responsibilities of parents to not let the school do all the teaching. Poor teachers, they have a big job, big enough just to teach the lessons without having to teach manners and actions. So there is, as I said, a big responsibility. And really, there's so many more verses that I could have given you, but I'll not take time. Suffice to say, it is urgent that you teach your children the Word of God, especially today, so that they can live by God's principles. Let me ask you, do your children understand that the Bible is God's Word and that He speaks to us through the Scriptures and tells us who He is and how we should live? Perhaps you're asking, Baby Louise, did Jesus attend school? Well, I thought you'd never ask. I looked it up. I did some research, and I found out when Jesus grew up as a boy in the village of Nazareth, he no doubt attended the synagogue school. The Jewish children then were sent to this school in the fifth or sixth year of their lives. The pupils either stood, the teacher and pupils alike, they stood all that time, or else they sat on the ground in a semicircle facing the teacher. Until the children were 10 years of age, the Bible was the one and only textbook. The study of the Bible began with the book of Leviticus, and then continued on with other parts of the Bible. And then they went on with the prophets and other writings in their lessons. And because of the remarkable familiarity of Jesus with the Holy Scriptures, we can be certain that his home in Nazareth no doubt had a copy of the sacred book as a whole, because he quoted so many verses all throughout the New Testament. No doubt he loved to ponder its pages at home after having studied it at school. And then I did even deeper study, and I learned that tradition has it that Moses went to school at the Temple of the Sun, and it was here then that he no doubt learned how to read and to write. And what they discovered is that in every indication, because of his writings, he had lessons in arithmetic using decimal scales of notation. He must have studied geometry enough to make him familiar with the art of land measuring. And his knowledge of math would take in trigonometry. Can you imagine that? Of course. Astronomy was also studied by the Egyptians, as was architecture. The Egyptians had proficiency in medical science and dentistry, and they were acquainted with anatomy, chemistry, had a knowledge of metals, for they had gold mines, copper mines, and were familiar with the use of iron and manufacture of bronze. Music was also very important in the Egyptian schools. Moses must have been well educated according to the standards of ancient Egypt. And you know, Stephen gave reference to Moses that he was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians. So, and you know what? There is a wealth of information concerning education in Bible times. I thought that would be interesting to you. And oh my goodness, I'm already out of time. So tune me in my next broadcast and let me continue on with the theme, Back to School. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.